10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Tonight, I want to know how you feel about the news of the weekend. I want you to call. I look forward to speaking with you at on the phone, 845-839-1210, 845-839-1210, Walter M. Sterling. It's 8 minutes past the hour, 8 minutes past the hour on a historic weekend. President Donald Trump broke his silence today on the first U.S. casualties of the Iran war in an exclusive phone interview. Three U.S. service members were killed in the fighting. They have yet to be identified. They're great people, he says. And you know, we expect that to happen, unfortunately. It could happen continuously. It could happen again. Trump acknowledged that the three casualties were the first in his second term, as the January capture of Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro and the June bombing of the Iranian nuclear facilities were pulled off without a single American death. We've done pretty well, he noted, but they're great people with outstanding records, absolutely outstanding. Trump also revealed a potential timeline for the war in Iran, suggesting fighting could go on for the next 4 weeks. It has always been a four-week process. We figured it will be 4 weeks. It's also been about a four-week process, as strong as it is. It's a big country. It'll take 4 weeks or less, said the president. He said he hasn't been surprised by any of the outcomes for the strikes thus far. To me, what this means, the attack on Iran, is that we finally have an actual president. I know that you may have thought Ronald Reagan, I know you, you may have thought Ronald Reagan was an actual president, but he was not. Because the minute the hostages were released by Iran in 1980, when they took our embassy and kidnapped the staff of the embassy for months and months and months and get Ted Koppel on the air every night, the minute they were released, he should have bombed them. He should have leveled that country. That's what Ronald Reagan should have done. And then the next president, same thing. And the next president, same thing. And then the strangest thing ever in my mind, unbelievable. Barack Obama took $1 billion, wrapped it in cellophane, put it on a wooden pallet, put it on a plane without markings, and sent it to Iran on his last day in office. 855-839-1210. I want to talk with you. How do you feel? I couldn't be more thrilled or proud of our president than I am right now. How do you feel? 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Live at 10 minutes past the hour on the East Coast. 10:10 past the hour. Walter M. Sterling. And I look forward to talking with you and your feelings and your reaction to what the great president has done. What he has done. He has acted like a president and is determined to level that country's regime and turn it back over to the people of Iran. He has gotten rid of the guy with the wacky hat and strange beard. He's gotten rid of his military experts, quote, experts. And that country is raw and waiting to be taken over by its own people. How do you feel? 855-839-1210. I want to talk with you. Now, the president of the United States gave an update today, a few hours ago, from the White House, and I would like you to now hear his update.
The United States and its partners have launched Operation Epic Fury, one of the largest, most complex, most overwhelming military offensives the world has ever seen. Nobody's seen anything like it. We have hit hundreds of targets in Iran, including Revolutionary Guard facilities, Iranian air defense systems. Just now, it was announced that we knocked out 9 ships plus their naval building, all in a matter of literally minutes. Iran's formerly supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is dead. This wretched and vile man had the blood of hundreds and even thousands of Americans on his hands and was responsible for the slaughter of countless thousands of innocent people all across many countries. Last night, all over Iran, the voices of the Iranian people could be heard cheering and celebrating in the streets when his death was announced. The entire military command is gone as well, and many of them want to surrender into saving their lives. They want immunity. They're calling by the thousands. Combat operations continue at this time in full force, and they will continue until all of our objectives are achieved. We have very strong objectives. They could have done something 2 weeks ago, but they just couldn't get there. Earlier today, CENTCOM shared the news that 3 U.S. military service members have been killed in action. As one nation, we grieve for the true American patriots who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, even as we continue the righteous mission for which they gave their lives. We pray for the full recovery of the wounded and send our immense love and eternal gratitude to the families of the fallen. And sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is. Likely be more, but we'll do everything possible where that won't be the case. But America will avenge their deaths and deliver the most punishing blow to the terrorists who have waged war against basically civilization. They have waged war against civilization itself. Our resolve and likewise that of Israel has never been stronger. America is now again the richest, most powerful nation in the world by far. But the only reason we enjoy the quality of life that we do and the freedom and security is we have done things that others are unable to do. But it's because of warriors who are willing to lay down their lives to do battle with our enemies. And they do battle better than anybody. An Iranian regime armed with long-range missiles and nuclear weapons would be a dire threat to every American. We cannot allow a nation that raises terrorist armies to possess such weapons that would allow them to extort the world to their evil will. Not going to let it happen. We're not happening to us, and we're not going to let it happen to others. The United States has the strongest military the world has ever seen. I rebuilt our military in my first term. There's never been a military like we possess. And frankly, there's nobody even close, but we are now using that military for good. We want to have it for good purpose. We're undertaking this massive operation not merely to ensure security for our own time and place, but for our children and their children, just as our ancestors have done for us many, many years ago. This is the duty and the burden of a free people. These actions are right, and they are necessary to ensure that Americans will never have to face a radical, bloodthirsty terrorist regime armed with nuclear weapons and lots of threats. For almost 50 years, these wicked extremists have been attacking the United States while chanting the slogan, "Death to America" or "Death to Israel" or both. They are the world's number one state sponsor of terror. We are the world's greatest and most powerful nation, so we can do something about what they do. These intolerable threats will not continue any longer. I once again urge the Revolutionary Guard, the Iranian military, police, to lay down your arms and receive full immunity or face certain death. It will be certain death. Won't be pretty. I call upon all Iranian patriots who yearn for freedom to seize this moment, to be brave, be bold, be heroic, and take back your country. America is with you. I made a promise to you, and I fulfilled that promise. The rest will be up to you, but we'll be there to help. Thank you. God bless you to our incredible warriors, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
God bless us that we have an actual president of the United States who actually did not tolerate countries saying death to America, death to Israel, death to America. This wasn't a casual death to America. It was constant. It was a disgusting drip of the sewer of the worst possible regime in the world. Death to America. Well, thank you, Mr. President. That's how I feel. I'm Walter Sterling. How do you feel? Live radio show. Here's my phone number, 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. It's like, whew, this is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired detective Vic Ferrari. And on tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, a retired NYPD detective is accused of gunning down both his parents in their Florida condominium. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Birthday present? Details later, strippers are the loose. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
This is Matthias Boehm-Bell. Coming up, my Hollywood report on movies, live on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling, Walter Sterling, every damn night.
I am so pleased that President Trump has acted like a president and taken out the thugs who run Iran. You and I can talk about this live at 855-839-1210. That's my phone number, 855-839-1210. DJ, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. Hi.
I have to agree with you, and I want to point out that Trump is, without a doubt, the best president we have ever had. And listening to everything that he has done, he doesn't mess around. He doesn't drag his feet. He decides he takes out the enemy. And that's the best we have ever had. I grew up I was a Republican, so was my daddy, but he worked for a Democratic politician. And I remember, my daddy took me off to the side one day, and my father, by the way, died at their hands. And he took me off to the side as a young woman, and he said, Pinky, my nickname is Pinky because I never got a tan in Miami. I just turned pink. And he said, sweetheart, you're going to go down the road of life, and I want you to look on each side as you go. He said, you're going to come to a stop. You're going to have to make a choice. He said, sweetheart, choose the right always. He said, have a heart, have a brain, and have guts, and don't be afraid to use all of them. And I believe that's who Trump is, and I admire him so greatly, and I thank you for showing all that he does. And
Pinky, thank you very much for your call at 855-839-1210. The president of the United States has acted like a president. His focus is what's right. What do we do next that's right? And he's not corruptible. Roberta, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. Hi.
Well, good night, Sterling.
Hey.
I went to college with a bunch of Iranian people who escaped from Iran just before the Shah was deposed. And the horrendous things that we have heard coming out of Iran done to the people by the Ayatollahs is the same as what we heard in Afghanistan with the Taliban. It's terrible. And I am so glad to hear that the people are going to have a chance of being free again like they were and not covered up with cloths and afraid of wearing their scarves the wrong way and being killed. I'm sorry that some people don't agree with it, but sometimes you just have to get in there and get the job done instead of being a mealy-mouthed person that, you know, placates to people like that in Iran.
Roberta, I totally agree with you. I am so proud that we now finally have a president of the United States, not a politician president, an actual president who's not corruptible. My dad always said, vote for the richest candidate. Who's ever the richest candidate, least likely to be corruptible. And absolutely true. Roberta, thank you for listening to Sterling every damn Sunday night. My phone number is 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Walter Sterling, listening to the President of the United States explaining the situation in Iran, and all I keep thinking of is two things. Where the hell was Reagan in 1980 when the hostages were released, the embassy hostages were released? Once they were out and we were still watching Ted Koppel on TV, he should have leveled Iran. That second he should have leveled. Who knows what was going on in their nonsense? Should have happened then. However, it's happening now, a day at a time. And I'm grateful to the President of the United States for being a president and actually saying, well, we're the leader in the world. This is the most dangerous regime in the world. And I will tell you, I had a strange physical reaction that I certainly didn't expect when I heard this, which was, I feel relief. I have three young daughters. I never wanted them to grow up in a world where a major power, and Iran is a major power, where a major power is saying, death to America, death to Israel, every hour. It's not a casual statement. He doesn't say it once a year at Ramadan, a ding dong. He says it constantly. Constant threat. And our president was like, I don't want any more constant threat from this guy with the weird beard and a strange hat who hates women, beheads women if they wear things wrong. They wear the wrong scarf or the wrong headdress. No, that's not a regime that should exist, much less one we should be negotiating with. And I thank President Trump for being a president. How do you feel about this? Here's my phone number. I'm live at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's a live radio show. A live radio show. That's what radio's supposed to be at this time. My name is Walter Sterling, and I'm here every damn Sunday. All right, 36 past the hour, 36 past the hour on a great weekend for the United States of America. We finally have a president who's acting like a president, who's being presidential, and has recognized the hub of evil in our world. Death to America, death to Israel. That should have been on their flag in Iran. That should have been the slogan of the country, because that's all their leaders ever said. And I want to talk with you about it at 855-839-1210. How do you feel about it? 855-839-1210. And now, fun. Yes, here's Mateus Boom Boom with his Hollywood movie update for the weekend. Hi, Mateus.
How are you, Walter? It's nice to talk to you. In the middle of such historic events, it seems almost superfluous or an afterthought to think about going to the movies. But for some people and our listeners, that it's possible that the escape of the movies may be just the thing to relieve the tension.
Exactly. Yes.
And what tension am I talking about? Sure, these are great historic events. Our president is taking action on something that should have been done a long time ago. But I know that there may be a lingering fear in many, thinking, what about retaliation? And, you know, these are very old cultures, which, and I never talk about politics, I'm about show business, but these are very old cultures. I know, for example, the Chinese culture would sometimes wait 600 years before retaliating to someone that had did them wrong. And so there's always the fear that we face impending and unknown danger when we take an action like this. And I think that part of our listeners or part of our nation may be fearful of that in spite of the effective and long-awaited results that are happening right now that are certainly in the positive side.
You know what we have to fear? You know what the retaliation would be? Is if our women found that they had to wear burqas whenever they went into an Iranian-owned business, that they had to follow Sharia law when they went to the Beverly Hills Hotel. Oh, yes, they did have to follow Sharia law when they went to the Beverly Hills Hotel. And finally, all of that nonsense stops. And one of the great things about the United States is we have the FBI, CIA. I'm sure throughout America, there are sleeper cells, like on TV. There are sleeper cells that could be woken up and have to reveal to their children that they are Iranian spies. And they will quickly turn themselves in and seek amnesty because they know it's hopeless. That's my opinion, yes. Mateus. That's my opinion.
Well,
go ahead with your exciting news. Tell us about your news.
Well,
yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, at the weekend, people were screaming, and not certainly about events, but Scream 7, which is a new horror movie, the seventh in the series, frankly, between you and me, I'm just screaming, I don't generally cover horror, that they've made seven of these things. I mean, how, this is beating a dead horse. Yet, $64 million since Friday seems to bring some life into a dead horse. That was followed by Goat, which is an animated movie at $12 million over the weekend and $47 million since opening. In third place, Wuthering Heights, an adaptation of the classic Bronte novel, which is nothing at all like the novel, tries to be a little too hip-hop, and it's starting to slow down, but still number three in the country right now. And you know what's coming in at number five? I'm going to leave out four. 21 Pilots is four. But Epic, Elvis Presley in concert. Baz Luhrmann, who made the biopic about Elvis recently, which had, so that was very popular. He's taken a live concert footage, mixed it up with rehearsal footage from the same concert, and put it out in IMAX theaters and other theaters. And it's a wonderful, beautifully restored picture to really have the essence of what Elvis was like in the 70s. And if there's anything more escapist than going to see Elvis Presley at a time like this, I can't think of what would be more fabulous. So that's it, number five in the country right now. Coming up, we also have a picture that's in theaters now called Matter of Time, in which Charlie Fleck, who's 29, he's a video game designer, he's played by Miles Ehrlich, and he has since childhood solely focused on living his dream of computer game design with three friends from childhood. They're played by Quinn Angel, Patrick Britton, and the girl he always loved but never knew it, played by Ali Aston. Now, the three boys started working on one particular game they knew would make them rich, but in present day, Allie has gone to work for a gaming company and sees a chance for Charlie to submit the game. Yet Charlie, who's excited about it, of course, thinks the game needs much more work. But the prospectus is due the next day. What is he going to do? So here in a complete Hollywood moment, he goes into a game and toy store run by Gibbs, played by Sean Astin. He was in those Lord of the Rings movies. And Charlie discovers a magical ring, not unlike the rings in the Lord of the Rings movies, that allows the wearer to stop time. So borrowing it, he's able to finish on time, but then he's got to deliver the finished game in short order. Continuing to use this ring and driven by deadline, he leaves his friends behind and decides to move forward solo to reach the goal. But is he going to make it, and at what cost? Well, it was sort of interesting, sort of amusing, but a pretty bad movie overall. This young actor is really not that great that plays the lead. He is Miles Ehrlich. Some folks may remember him for the family series The Next Step. He played Billy Elliot on Broadway in a musical. He was in a show called Motorheads. He's a Canadian country western singer, but as an actor, I think he needs a little bit more polishing. I think Mr. Austin is probably the best thing in the whole thing. At any rate, the special effects are maybe neat, which elevate the slog a little bit, slightly, but that's a matter of time. And I think you'll save some time by perhaps going to see the Elvis movie instead.
The Elvis movie sounds very intriguing and actually a perfect thing to do on this weekend, our weekend of patriotism. What could be more patriotic than seeing Elvis in a concert that probably 99% of us did not get to see, never saw before?
Right.
So congratulations to Boz for putting that together and to you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Thank you, Mateus.
Thank you, Walter.
All right, it's 42 past the hour, 43 past the hour with Walter Sterling, and I want to chat with you about what our great president has done. Bombing Iran, getting rid of the Ayatollah with his strange hat and beard. Nobody needs that hat and beard. And probably going to be replaced by a guy, a leader, a premier. What are they going to call him? Now, they're not going to call him Ayatollah. The Ayatollah always looked like a character from Minecraft. They're not going to call him an Ayatollah. What are they going to call him? Premier? President? Wearing a Brooks Brothers suit. Thank God. No more nonsense. No more of this. These strange medieval costumes and moving your hand around and saying, death to America, death to America, Ramadan, Ramadan, da-ding-dong, Ramadan, da-ding-dong. Insanity. How that could continue. And you can express all the love you have for Ronald Reagan, but the fact is that the minute those hostages were released in 1980, 81, that were kidnapped, members of the American embassy were kidnapped and kept as hostages for, what, a year, year and a half? It was a horrible thing. And then we had to see Ted Koppel on TV every night talking about it. Okay, good for you, Ted. It made you rich, but those poor people suffered. They suffered. Reagan should have leveled the country the minute those people were released. And then the next president should have, and the next president should have. But what did Obama do? He decided to give them $1 billion and then another half a billion in interest on the $1 billion because we held it. Oh, we held it hostage, that money. Yeah, good idea. Worse than that, just in case there was no suspicion about that, Obama returned the money to them, the $1 billion in cash. And he had to return it in cash because he couldn't return it to them in a normal way because their currency is useless and their banking system is corrupt. And the government was just afraid that many, many bankers might get a hold of that money before they got a hold of the money to steal it. Got it? Reagan should have leveled the place. Thank you, Mr. President. How do you feel about this? I want to talk to you at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Then you become the media. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling!
USA. 855-839-1210. That's my phone number, and you get to be the media and react, feel the situation in Iran. Thank God, Mr. President. Mike, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. Hi, Mike.
How are you, Walter?
I'm excited to speak to you. Tell me your story. Tell me your story, Mike. Tell me about working with the hostages. How did that happen? How did it go?
Well, basically what happened was that I was a Marine in Quantico at the time, 1979. And they shipped me up. I came in to see the guys from Langley. They had a bunch of guys from Langley there. And evidently, what they had done is set up a safe house for the Iranian Shah's family down in the Berkshires. So they said, "Didn't you grow up down there?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" They said, "We're assigning you to the security team." So we kept them there for 2 years, the family. They had million-dollar bounties on their head. Now, the Shah himself kept going back doing, he was sick at the time, and he was looking for a cure for whatever was ailing him. He finally died in Cairo about a year after the revolution. But the family stayed in the Berkshires for a couple of years, and then we moved to Safe House in Connecticut. And after things calmed down, they all moved on their own way. The oldest son, Reza, he's still alive and quite prominent in what's going on over in Iran right now. So I don't think they will want to go back to an era of the Shah. I think they're looking for complete and total, you know, the way that the Persian people always were before these crazies took over. And it's I'm proud of Trump for making a move that no one else had. You know, I've been doing this stuff for 40
Mike,
years.
Yes, this is a great story. Mike, why do you think no president did it until now?
Well, I'll tell you what. Every time you turn around and you look at the fight, it was always negotiate, negotiate, negotiate. And look, the Iranians were magnificent at knowing how to pull the stall. They stalled and they stalled and they stalled. And I got to say, our presidents just didn't have the guts to stand up and finally say, especially after the Beirut bombing. And when they bombed the Marine barracks in Beirut, that's when Reagan should have hit them. They knew damn well who the hell was behind it. When they killed all those American Marines,
right,
235 of them, that's when Reagan should have made his move on them. But they just didn't seem to have the guts to pull the trigger. You know what I'm saying? And it's cost many American lives. That I can tell you for sure.
How much more threatening could a country be to us than that country, and us not retaliate? Until now, we have a president who doesn't owe anybody anything, who's not corrupt on any level, and can do the next right thing. Mike, I'm so glad you listened to the show, and thank you very much for calling at 855-839-1210. What a great story Mike has. I'm very grateful to him. I should get him on as a guest. That's what I should do. Walter M. Sterling, it's 53 past the hour. Father Drucker, you were in Afghanistan. You were with the military. You're a Navy chaplain. You were a Purple Heart. How do you feel about what the president has done in Iran this weekend?
It's difficult for me to toe the line as a chaplain priest representing God, representing my church, and representing the military. But I can tell you, when I heard him on the air, I was in tears, thanking God that he had the courage to be forceful to do what was correct. These are evil human beings that want nothing but to destroy the world. Not the Iranian people, clearly and obviously. We all know that. It's like any country. It's the leaders. And their leaders were corrupt, evil human beings. Just evil. So he did a phenomenal thing, like he did putting the embassy in Israel. He's a great man. And the first time in my life, I'm saying it on the air, live and real. And I'm proud to be an American, and I'm proud to be a Catholic priest, having served the country as a U.S. Air Force chaplain in Desert Storm, and to have been recently gained the rank with the help of Major General Doug Satterfield to Major. I'm proud.
Major Drucker, how does that sound? How does that feel?
Oh, it sounds good, sir. I went from what we call company grade to field grade. That means now, in the Air Force, I can wear farts and darts, pardon the expression, on my Class A hat. In the Army, it would be scrambled eggs. So now I'm in the big echelon, not for me, but for the glory of God, Walter. For the glory of God.
I wonder what that clicking is. What is that clicking, Sean? Do you know what that is? Is it your phone, Father Drucker? There's a there's a little static on there. Hopefully we can get rid of it, because I want to talk to you more about the fact that you were in Afghanistan, Navy chaplain, veteran, Purple Heart, and a great man today. You continue to work with the military. You work with veterans who are sick, and you get involved with baking on a very profound level. And I'm going to talk to Stephen. Are you there, Stephen? Always slow with Stephen. He's not answering his phone. So Selena's not answering his phone because she's not allowed to have her own phone. It's a very strange thing. But Father, that's true. She doesn't seem to have her own phone, Father. What is that about?
I don't know. I think that's an internal thing. And they're the things I keep away from unless I'm counseling. And I'm not in a counseling situation. I'm going to get my donuts and coffee and sit down and greet people.
And stay out of it.
And share God. And stay out of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, stay out of it. All right, we're going to talk more with Father Drucker because this is a very special night. I am so proud of the President of the United States for being a president. I don't know what these presidents were doing before. Besides pleasing their constituency, we now have a president who's interested in pleasing the rule of law, pleasing our Constitution, and doing what we want him to do. He's the commander-in-chief of the United States military. Imagine that, and I want to talk to you about it. How do you feel about it? Here's my number. Call me, 855-839-1212.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Sterling, every damn night, he's on every damn night. Whenever he comes on the air, the Midnight Misfits pull up a chair. Sterling, every damn night, he's on every damn night. He'll talk so much your head will ache. Each word is a delight. Listening to Sterling every damn night.
Feel the dough. Eat the dough. J.B. Bakery. Selena and Steve. Sterling every damn night.
And here they have the blessings of a Catholic priest gone wrong, Father Jim Drucker, who is a major in the military, Purple Heart in the military, former chaplain in Afghanistan during Desert Storm. And Steve, who, what? He makes donuts? Okay, he makes donuts. And then there's Selena, who wants to be a Miss America contestant for the state of New Jersey, which I'm sure that will happen. Let's start with Father Drucker. I, Walter Sterling, could not be happier with the President of the United States acting like a President of the United States. How do you feel, Father?
As I said earlier, unequivocally, he is a man who is dedicated to serving his flock, we Americans. And at the same time, I believe he's a man that cares about human beings. He did the right thing as a military leader. And while I'm a priest, I'm a chaplain, I'm also a military officer, and I'm so grateful. I actually cried when I heard him talking about that he didn't want any destruction, but he had to fight the evil of this country. It would be terrible in the future if he had not done what he did now, and he's going to finish and accomplish it and get new people in there and a democratic country that we can work with.
What advice do you have for any Americans who don't think this was a good idea?
I would say to search their hearts and their souls through prayer and to realize that there is evil in the world and that evil does exist. And it exists in this country through the leaders, not the people. And that's what the president is acting upon. To eradicate the evil of a nation that deserves better and the people that deserve better. And I would tell them that they must place this idea in their mind.
Father Jim Drucker, friend of the show, incredibly successful military career, Catholic priest career. That's his summation of the situation in Iran, where the President of the United States bombed the hell out of them and got rid of the leadership of Iran, those people who wear strange beards and funny hats and believe that women should be covered and hidden, and they if they wear their scarves the wrong way, they'll be killed. And I want to know how you feel. Here's my phone number. It's live at 855-839-1210. It's a live line to go right on the air. Now, Steve is a baker in Burlington, New Jersey. He owns a bakery, JB Bakery, famous, brilliant bakery. And Selena, the head of marketing at JB Bakery. Selena, how do you feel about the leveling of the capital of Iran, Tehran?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it had to be done. I'm sure that people who are in charge of our government are doing the best that they can in making the decisions. I think Father Drucker did a good job of, you know, expressing how I feel and how I hope people will feel about it. But I do feel for anybody who has a family member in our military right now. My brother-in-law is actually overseas, so it is a very scary time for anybody who has military personnel in their family. So all we can do is pray and just hope that our government will make the best decisions that they can, and you know, just that everybody will come home safe.
Father Drucker, when he was in the military, Selena, it was not always voluntary. He was probably drafted. But the fact is that today, yes, I agree with you about the people in the military, but they all volunteered. They want to be there. They understood the risks clearly. What sort of baked goods do you feel we should be sending to our military right now in Iran? Do you have any opinion on this, Steve?
Care packages would be great. I hear that military bases do take care packages from local communities and send it over. So donuts really don't go that well, but cookies and brownies would be perfect. Easy to ship. I used to deal with McGuire Air Force Base, and one of the generals used to come to the bakery and get leftover cookies and brownies and send them right over to the in Afghanistan during the Afghanistan war. So I'm always open to doing that, supporting the troops and making care packages. I think it's a great idea, Walter.
All right. Now, Midnight Misfits, listening right now live, if you'd like to send a care package over to Iran, to our military, Steve will do that for you. Make a donation to Steve. He will take care of it. He'll take care of all of it. But how do we make a donation to you to take care of the cookies and the care packages? How does that happen?
Well, I'm sure Father Drucker and I can connect with military, because he's on the military base, so we can connect with people, people that are in charge of doing things like that and work it out that way.
No, you're not listening to me. No, you're not listening
to me. I'm sorry.
I said, how do we get money to you to do it?
I would say email me at jbbakery@aol.com. jbbakery@aol.com. And we'll get the donations going.
You send money to establish care packages via JB Bakery to Iran, and it's a great idea. Absolutely great idea.
Phenomenal idea.
Yes, a major.
When I was overseas, we used to get care packages of shaving cream, all kind of things. But to send baked goods like the cookies, it would be incredible. I think it's a phenomenal idea, Walter. Phenomenal.
Good idea. You bless it, Father Drucker. This is fine.
I bless. I bless every cookie going out to the power of the priesthood of Christ through this simple, humble priest.
Steve, what's the email address again for somebody to get in touch with you to establish a way to make a donation to send care packages to the military in Iran? How do we do this? What's your email address again?
jbbakery@aol.com, just like the business, jbbakery. And then I use the original @aol.com, jbbakery@aol.com. I'll get in contact with anybody that's interested. Father and Drucker and I will get together the care packages, we'll get them on base, and we'll get them shipped over.
Now, I know that you always create a recipe for Midnight Misfits. I saw the word vanilla in the latest recipe. What is the latest recipe you've created for Midnight Misfits?
Selena's Lazy Sunday Vanilla Trifle. This is what Selena made today for our Sunday dinner with family. It's a layers of vanilla pudding, whipped cream, brownie bites. You can use any kind of cookie crumble or add in extras like walnuts or sprinkles. This is good because after a heavy dinner, maybe a pasta dinner, that's what we had, pasta and meatballs. There's always room for dinner. There's always room for dessert because this is light and easy to eat.
All right. This is the vanilla crumble, and I will send you this recipe. All you have to do is send me a note, which is waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Just ask for the recipe. I will send it to you. You can try it, see how it goes. It's 16 past the hour. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. The car barn is alive. Neon lights flicker. The patrons talking jive. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. It's a perfect Ferrari.
Hey, Walter. On tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, a 55-year-old man is accused of fleeing his elderly parents' home after their deaths. Philip Rapici, 85 years old, and his 80-year-old wife, Joan, residents of Fort Pierce, were discovered fatally shot in their Florida condominium. Their son, Philip, 55 years old, has been identified as a suspect in their deaths and arrested on a separate charge of evading police. Police said their son is now a suspect in their deaths. The deaths were deemed suspicious, and officers secured the gated community while processing the scene. According to the Fort Pierce Police Department, Rapici is a former New York City police officer. It appears the son lived in the same community as his parents and made headlines in New York City papers after a fall from grace from the NYPD. At the time, he was accused of stealing union checks and bribing a witness. As we're trying to learn more about his background, we found he went public with a story about being the victim of child abuse at the hands of a baseball coach when he was a young boy. After his parents' deaths, Rapici's vehicle was tracked as it entered Indian River County from neighboring St. Lucie County, where the killings happened. Using cameras that read license plates that were placed in various locations in the area, Rapici was arrested late Tuesday. The arrest came after a chase, which a deputy used a precision immobilizing technique, or a pit maneuver, to stop Rapici's car on Olso Road. Rapici, a former New York City police officer, is being detained at the Indian River County Jail on a $150,000 bond for fleeing and eluding. He is due to be arraigned on April 8, 2026. The police in Fort Pierce, who are investigating the homicide, identified him Wednesday as a suspect in the deaths of his parents, 85-year-old Philip Rapici and his 80-year-old wife, Joan. The couple was found Tuesday afternoon after multiple gunshots in their Harbor Island condominium complex on Hutchison Island in Fort Pierce. Police described their deaths as suspicious and said Rapici had fled the scene before officers arrived, leading to a be out on the lookout for his vehicle. A witness who lives in the condominium complex said he knew the victims and reported hearing gunshots. About 9, I'd say between 9 and 9:30, I heard between 5 and 6 loud bangs, according to the witness. He continued to watch from his window as he saw the suspect running to the car. What's crazy about this story is one of the victims, Philip Rapici Sr., was also a retired NYPD police officer. And I'm sure he was proud the day his son took the test and became a cop as well. But unfortunately, sometimes the apple falls far from the tree, and this seems to be one of these cases where the son went off the rails and unfortunately may have murdered both his parents. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
Good every damn night.
Oh, yeah! Rebecca Kanner has relatives in Israel who are trying to stay safe. It's a dangerous time, obviously, to be in Israel. Walter M. Sterling, good evening. 23 past the hour, 24 past the hour. Rebecca Kanner, I'm sure everything will work out well. You have relatives in Israel. I'd like to talk to those relatives in Israel. Let's figure out a way for me to get on the phone with them. You and I are talking at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And then I see, hold on, I got to get the name right. Hold on. Yes, Kurt Walters, a fabulous last name, a great last name. Donald Trump is building a new golf course in Iran. They've already finished the first three holes. How do they know that? How do they know? Donald Trump, our great president, finally, I just got it there, Kurt. Donald Trump, our first president to actually act like a president. Why Ronald Reagan did not bomb Iran, I will never know. I will never understand that, because we suffered with Jimmy Carter as president. We suffered Iran taking people hostage, the embassy hostage, our embassy workers hostage, and holding them hostage for months, like over a year, right? This was horrendous, horrendous. And then when they were released, that is the moment when we should have bombed Iran, leveled it, gotten rid of the wacky regimes with the strange heads, the odd beards, and Sharia law. Imagine, as a woman, you think it was okay. Any woman would think it was okay to be covered, told what to wear, how to behave, could not drive, and on and on and on. I hope I don't hear one woman say, gee, we should not have gone in there and gotten rid of the Ayatollah. But I'll bet you and I will hear a whack job congresswoman, Senate woman, some official of something say, you know, we really shouldn't have gone over and taken, you know, a properly authorized real regime supported by. No, nobody there like this. It was horrendous. It was a terrible mistake. They used to have a Shah, kind of wacky. But before that, they had a pure democracy. I mean, you know, as pure as it's going to be, as pure as it could be. And that's what needs to be returned. That's what our president would like to see. And what did he say? He said, I urge the people of Iran at this moment to take their government, to take charge of their government, to be in charge. And this is the moment when they can do that. I would like to talk to you about it at 855-839-1210 is my number. It's a live radio show, and we get to talk to each other at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Don't email me, because this isn't a reading group. It's a radio show. We talk. We go on the air. I don't read you things. You know, I know. Hold on. I know some horrible talk show hosts who spend 2 or 3 hours a day reading out of magazine articles. That's called not doing their show prep. That means they have not prepared their show. And so they just grab some magazines and read it to you. How insulting and how wrong and how there are no ratings. You and I get to talk. Live radio, 855-839-1210, we get to talk big ratings. It's a very simple math. Neil Paul, Midnight Misfits. Neil Paul, welcome. It is unbelievable that this country, which said every morning, the Ayatollah would wake up and say, death to Israel. Jonathan and Suzanne Thompson of Rochester, Minnesota. Marty Miller, my buddy, East Meadow, New York, a Long Island Railroad employee. Dan and Dolores Nostri, South Philadelphia, Midnight Misfit. Sam Shepies, hi, Longhorn, Pennsylvania. Linda Gianetti, Norma Willard of St. Clair, Minnesota. Joel Tuckman, Philadelphia. Richard Galarno, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. These are the Midnight Misfits, hundreds more. Welcome. If you'd like me to say hi to you as a Midnight Misfit, happy to do it. All you have to do is go to the webpage, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Click on Midnight Misfits and get yourself a membership card. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. When you get the membership card, you'll see it has a strange code on it. It's like the CONET signals. It's a strange code that only you can understand. I give out secret messages, just like the number stations. I give out secret messages. And in those secret messages, you'd love to know what's being said, because finally, you're not FOMO. And you get to know what's going on. But you need the decoder card. You find that at waltersterlingshow.com. click on Midnight Misfits, and boom, there it is. Boom, there it is. It's exciting, isn't it? And I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. But don't write to me about the topic. Call. Call 855-839-1210.
Sterling. Sterling every damn night. Sterling across the USA.
36 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling and you. At 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. How do you feel about what our great president has done in Iran? I don't know why no president has done it before. I don't know what the other presidents were doing. The most corrupt president, Barack Obama, put $1.5 billion on a wooden pallet, wrapped it in saran wrap, sent it there to Iran on an airplane with no markings, and did it on his last day in office. Nothing suspicious about that. I didn't see any big hearings in Congress. I didn't see any senators outraged. It was like, Oh, my God. It was shocking. It was disgusting. And yes, it actually happened. I'm saying that now, and I can't even believe it happened.
Should parents have the right to opt their kids out of LGBTQ-related content in the same way that right now they can be removed from sex ed and health curriculum classes?
Look, I believe that parents have the right to oversee their children's education. I would push an LGBTQ education into our schools. Parents have a right to opt out of a lot of things, but this is not an area where they should be opting out, because this is an area of understanding the background of people throughout our nation. And right now we see, for example, at the Naval Academy, an erasure of history.
Steve Sweeney. What? What did she say? That parents should not be taking their kids out of curriculum that the parents don't believe in. There are parents who believe that their kids should learn about all LGBTQ in school. I don't. And the reason I don't is I believe parents should expose their kids to that information at home, in their own way, in their own time. Now, first of all, not every kid is ready to understand any of the above. There are some kids who immediately understand what you're talking about. There are other kids who aren't going to be ready till they're well out of high school. Everybody's different. That's why you have parents who pay attention and know what their kids can accept. And you have kids who also know what their parents can accept. It goes two ways. There are kids who are very advanced in their understanding of society, different sexual behaviors, and there are kids who will never understand it. And there are parents who will become hostile if you discuss the topics of LGBTQ, and there are other parents who will be loving and understanding. Every dynamic is different. And I don't have as much problem with the schools relating that information as I do with not understanding when a kid is ready. And then when their home is ready. Because when a child takes the information about the LGBTQ community home, when they come, well, what happened in school today? Well, we learned about gay guys. Oh, you did? Now, there are homes where they're going to go, oh, that's really interesting. We have a lot of gay friends. Did you know this and this? And then there are other homes where mom and dad will become furious, absolutely crazy angry that this was even brought up. And that is the sanctity of the home. Each home has the right to present information to their children at their own pace, the way that they're comfortable. That's what that ignores. Listen to this wacky again.
Should parents have the right to opt their kids out of LGBTQ-related content in the same way that right now they can be removed from sex ed and health curriculum classes?
Look, I believe that parents have the right to oversee their children's education. I would push in LGBTQ education into our schools. Parents have a right to opt out of a lot of things, but this is not an area where they should be opting out, because this is an area of understanding the background of people throughout our nation. And right now we see, for example, at Naval Academy, an erasure of history.
Steve Sweeney.
What? What do you mean erasure of history? What's that about? I'm eating on the air. It's the rudest thing I could do. But I'm diabetic, and sometimes I have trouble. You know, sometimes my blood sugar crashes while I'm on the air, and there's nothing else I can do. I'm almost done.
Highlights.
You see right there, they actually had some problems getting into the sled. I saw the bottom man's knees pop out. That's just getting relaxed, getting settled in. And boy, did they settle in. Kind of a high line in nine, but handled like pros. You could call these guys rookies, but because they've shown so much poise this season and been such great racers, they don't show up like they're rookies.
Yeah. It was very interesting what she said. She said, oh boy, they settled in like pros. Boy, did they settle in. Boy, did they settle in. You know, that was the double luge, the most bizarre, quote, sport ever to Walter Sterling. I have never heard such a bizarre sport. Two people lie on top of each other, get on a sled that goes down an ice track, not a slow track, a snow track, an ice track to death. Most dangerous possible path that they could travel, all ice, all downhill, on a sled designed to go fast. It is steered with their feet, but not both of them, only the bottom man. Did you hear what I said? Only the bottom man. Only the bottom man. And the top man settles into him.
Look at the highlights.
You see right there, they actually had some problems getting into the sled. I saw the bottom man's knees pop out. That's just getting relaxed, getting settled in. And boy, did they settle in. Kind of a high line in nine, but handled like pros. You could call these guys rookies, but because they've shown so much poise this season and been such great racers, they don't show up like they're rookies.
Walter M. Sterling, 44 past the hour, 44 past the hour. I have a phone number, a live line. I want to know how you feel about what our president did in Iran. 855-839-1210. I say it was spectacular, Mr. President. Absolutely spectacular. Sterling every damn Sunday night.
Andrew Windsor. Yeah, you know him. He's Prince Andrew. They made him take away his titles because the feller has been up to some creepy activity. He was arrested the other day on his 66th birthday. A lot of people are pointing out that he's now reduced to being a meme. Yeah, a meme. Apparently, according to one report from RadarOnline.com, so you know it's probably pretty good, the former Prince Andrew opened the door to his abode because he thought the lady cop was a stripper for his birthday. You see, he thought he was being pranked. And that's before Prince Andrew all of a sudden went on and on and on that he's the son of the queen. I'm the queen's son. You can't arrest me. I want to give maybe a tale you probably have learned. Many men listen to the brain below the belt line before the brain in between their ears. And Prince Andrew, a.k.a. Andrew Windsor, he apparently was thinking of the little prince a lot. The little prince got him into all sorts of different trouble, all sorts of shenanigans. He was hanging out with the wrong people, doing bad things, allegedly. And perhaps he's going to serve some time in jail. Once referred to as Randy Andy, the prince is no longer handsome and dashing. And he'll have some new special friends behind bars. Yeah, the guys will really like hanging out with him. From the champagne room, enjoying a tea. I'm Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling. Every damn night.
Sterling every night. Study books. Rusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies. At their destination, Ash groped around for the doorknob and nudged the door open with his hip. It closed behind them, and he set her down on the floor and spun her around by the waist to face him. Dim wall sconces around the perimeter of the room cast him in a warm glow, highlighting the tender affection in his eyes. "If you'll indulge me in a rare, serious moment," he said, "you've made me the luckiest man in the universe today. No matter what happens from here on out, there's nothing the two of us can't handle together." Geneva caressed the side of his face. This was one of the, if not the, most amazing day of my life. And I know even better ones lay ahead of us. He inched forward, pressing his body alongside hers. Bracing her palms on his sturdy chest, she tilted her face upward in anticipation of his kiss. Before their lips made contact, however, someone knocked on the door. "It's unlocked," Ash called. Marcus appeared in the doorway, toting a small wheeled suitcase. The faint light from the hall silhouetted his slender frame as he watched them from several feet away. Despite the shadows, Geneva could recognize every familiar detail down to the hunger in his stare, and she drew in a sharp breath as she realized how much she wanted him. How much she wanted both of them. "I didn't mean to intrude," he said, interrupting her thoughts. "I figured you'd assume I'd be here shortly." "You're not intruding." She extended her hand toward him, beckoning him inside. "We got here just a moment ago." "I wouldn't have blamed you if you'd gotten started without me." He set down his luggage beside a wooden dresser and joined them in the center of the room. "As it's your special day, we can celebrate any way you'd like tonight." Without leaving Ash's embrace, she half turned toward Marcus, tugging at the collar of his button-down shirt and using it to pull him closer. Her other hand remained on Ash's chest, above his heart. Glancing back and forth between them, she burst out in a fit of giggles. "What's so funny?" Marcus asked. She let her hand skim down his side until it rested at his waist. "All this time, and I still can't figure out how to decide which one of you to kiss." He joined in her laughter. "A dilemma with which I am quite familiar." Ash's hand also drifted lower, and he gave her hip a mischievous squeeze. "I'm with Marcus on this one. You're in charge tonight." "Me?" she scoffed. "The one who's infamous for her inability to make decisions?" "It's all worked out for the best so far, don't you think?" Marcus steered her back toward her husband. "Why don't you continue what you were doing before I arrived? I'll figure it out." Geneva allowed Ash to guide her lips to his. Their tongues tangled together, engaging in sweet spirals and probing explorations. As they resumed their prior kiss, another set of lips floated across her bare shoulder. Marcus swept her hair to one side from behind and continued along his path to the side of her neck. While Ash held her in place with one gentle palm cradling each side of her face, Marcus's hands glided down her body, coming to rest at the swell of her hips. They didn't linger for long, though, as they slipped around to her stomach. While he continued to pepper faint kisses along her skin, his hands rose to cup her chest, skimming over the silky fabric of her dress. His strong fingers sank into her flesh. A whimper strained in her throat, but Ash refused to relent, preventing her from speaking. Marcus continued to fondle and knead, and his teeth grazed the sensitive spot at the juncture between her neck and shoulder. She jolted, and he let out a low chuckle near her ear. Though her options for movement were limited, she rolled her hips backward, lengthening the connection between them. She longed to reach for him, to tear his pants away and reacquaint herself with every detail of him. But the two men kept her trapped between them. He abandoned her heaving chest, and she grumbled at the loss of contact, though the sound was stifled by Ash's fervent kiss. Marcus's fingers found the top of the zipper at the back of her dress and tugged at it. The deliberate scratch as he dragged the zipper down inch by painstaking inch echoed in her ears, and she shuddered at his feathery touch as he pushed the straps down her arms. Oh, unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies, which is available at Amazon on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, it's Sterling every damn night. On the sea or on the land, Walter gets the situation well in hand.
I am so proud of our president actually acting like a president. How do you feel about that, Edward, at 855-839-1210?
Hello, Walter. Well, I feel great, actually. You know, it's a perfect storm. He was ready to move, and in the last 48 hours, the U.S. has become the dominant power in the Middle East. You know, the Iranian people rose up again, you know, last week, and I think it was his key to make the move. And he challenged them, you know, in his post. He said, now's your time to do it, and you're not going to have this time for very much longer, which says to me that this is not going to be an endless war. And he's put the challenge to them, so hopefully they take up the challenge. But, yes, great timing. He put another armada in the Middle East, and he made us the dominant power there. Where's Russia?
Why do you think no president did it before?
Two reasons. One is they were afraid, and also they were not risk takers.
I don't understand why Reagan didn't level the place right after the hostages were released in 1980. I don't understand why, after 18 months, 2 years of us knowing our embassy officials were being held hostage, the minute they were released, that's when we should have leveled the place.
Well, yeah, possibly looking back, but the context of the time, It was all diplomacy in those days. They didn't do it. They didn't do things like that, you know. And today it's changed. I mean, we've got real estate guys that are negotiating this stuff in Ukraine and Russia and with Iran. He sends the two New York real estate guys to work for him. He's changed the nature of the presidency. I mean, this is way beyond what you're hearing on CNN, and you know, they're in the weeds about the Constitution, you know, and war powers. Nobody cares about that.
Well, it's a lot of nonsense. Nobody cares.
Yeah, you're right. Now, here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing for me, Walter. The U.S. Military out there, the Navy mainly and the Air Force, and the technology they have, they paved the way and they covered the entrance into Tehran, into the heart of darkness, the bunker, the compound of this despot, crazy guy, Khomeini. They covered their approach, and the Israelis went in and took him out. Okay, it was the Israelis that went in.
Bravo,
and
bravo.
It was a nod to the Israelis because they sought revenge for October 7th.
Yes.
You know, and they got their revenge.
And they got their revenge, Khomeini. Absolutely.
And the top IRGC guys, okay, like 40, 50 of them. And the U.S. technology jammed their defenses, their radar defenses and everything else, and paved the way for them and just set back that first day and let them go in. And there they are.
Thank you for calling, Edward. Thank you for calling. Edward Jones, Edward, official, very important reaction to our great president going into Iran and leveling it. Thank God. Thank you for the call. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Dave Scott, a known Canadian. What is Canada saying about what our president did in Iran?
Well, sir, it's very interesting to watch because, you know, in Canada, there have been absolute peaceful protests of cheering and of hype for both President Donald Trump as well as what has happened in Iran. I mean, there was literally parades happening in Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, all of the major cities, where you actually saw Persian people gathering with Israeli people, and they were all hugging and cheering and doing the Trump dance for YMCA. I mean, literally, it's so funny because this country that I'm in right now seems to have a perpetual dislike for the president. However, when it comes to this, and they actually see people who are ecstatic as to what's happened, because Canada does have a large Iranian refugee community right across from coast to coast, I think people right now are don't know what to think. And I would say that the woke left who are absolutely despising this because Orange Man bad are literally not knowing what to think anymore, because they are probably having some sort of seizure right now, trying to figure out, well, if he's so bad, why are these people cheering? What's going on here? It goes against the grain of everything that is supposed to be wrong. And I just can't believe that there are actually people on your side of the border and my side of the border absolutely so narrow-minded that they can't see what good was done here, Walter.
I don't understand anybody saying, you know, that's a bad thing he did in Iran. That was a thing that was needed to be done since President Reagan witnessed hostages from our embassy released. The minute the hostages from our embassy were released in 1981, that's when President Reagan should have leveled the place. And if any president was going to do it before Trump, it would have been him. I can't imagine any objection to this. It's a great thing. The people of Iran are cheering. They're grateful. Now women don't have to wear burqas. They don't have to wear strange and bizarre scarves. They can now drive cars. And they're no longer run by people who look like they're from Minecraft.
Well, I mean, it's about time the party of 1499 ends. You know, I mean, realistically, I mean, what a lot of this younger woke generation can't figure out, and even a lot of liberal people can't figure out, Iran was not a Muslim nation.
Right.
They were Persian. They were taken over through hostility and through students who believed that socialism and communism and religious zealotry was the way to go. And what did the Ayatollah back then do to all those students after they took over Iran? He murdered them. He slaughtered them. And those were his supporters that helped them overturn the Shah. So, I mean, it's amazing how people, thanks to social media, want to look at a headline, and because Orange Man Bad, they're not going to accept this. And the people of Iran and people who've lived under terror of life, being able to wonder whether or not wearing makeup is going to get a woman's eyes gouged out. I mean, it's absolutely horrendous that there are people out there that narrow-minded because they have such bad Trump derangement syndrome that they will accept a woman being absolutely disfigured over the man who just slaughtered 30 to 40,000 innocent people who wanted change a couple of weeks ago.
Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio, website spacedoutradio.com. More with Dave Scott in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sometimes you want to go where nobody knows the manager's name, and the service is really lame. You want to go where nobody actually cares about you. You want to go to drive-thru brew.
Attention, environmentalists. This is Rob Williams with a special green edition of Drive-Thru Brew. Sorry, it's about St. Patrick's Day. Let's listen to the geriatric manager and his young employee, Slacker Jake.
Jake, St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and I think we should have a special promotion. Got any ideas?
No.
How about this? Suppose we give 10% off to anybody who shows up in a green car.
There ain't no green cars anymore. Everybody's got white, silver, black, or red. And a couple folks got blue.
You know, you're right. But maybe that's a good thing. We'll promote the discount, but we won't actually have to give it.
That don't make sense.
In fact, let's make it 20% off. That's even better.
The next day, the boys cut a commercial at a local radio station.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Jake's manager. Come by the drive-thru brew in a green car between now and St. Patrick's Day.
And we'll give you 20% off any purchase.
And if you wear a green hat, we'll knock off another 10% for a total of 30% off.
See you real soon.
One day later.
My name's Patrick O'Patrick. They call me the Leprechaun. I'm president of the Irish Brotherhood of Green Car Owners. That discount's still in effect?
Yes, sir.
Good. We got 800 members. We'll be back tomorrow.
Sure enough, the next day.
Jake, we're losing a fortune. Got any ideas?
We could go bankrupt and retire.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, folks. Except you people in the Irish Brotherhood of Green Car Owners. Okay, be Irish, but get a life for Pete's sake. And, by the way, lose the goofy hats,
Sterling every damn night. Oh, yeah!
22 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling and Dave Scott, a known Canadian. A Canadian who hosts SpacedOutRadio.com. Spaced Out Radio. You can hear every Spaced Out Radio show at YouTube, Spaced Out Radio. Dave Scott, do you have extraterrestrial things to report?
Oh, always, always. You know, there's been a lot of debate. Never mind, I know the situation in Iran has kind of taken over the news recently. However, mm-hmm. there is a job that Pete Hegseth is also doing, mm-hmm. you know, as head of the Department of War. Well, he is also going to be in control of the release of UFO/UAP videos and information. And in fact, he's done something that is actually very unpopular with the UFO world. I mean, we were all excited that Hegseth was talking about this subject and that he's been ordered by the president to release it. You see, the AARO program, which is called the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, doesn't have the best track record. Their former head, Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, was literally caught deceiving, and, you know, some people allege he was lying about some of the subjects that he was talking about regarding AARO and their investigation into anything that has to do with flying saucers or ET contact. Now, at one point, one of the fibs that he kind of told was he literally said, no, I've never met with Brandon Fugel, the owner of Skinwalker Ranch. I've never seen a presentation. Don't even know who he is. Brandon Fugel, a multimillionaire real estate developer in Utah who owns Skinwalker Ranch, literally came out and said, ahem, is this you in the photograph during our presentation? And that really kind of sank his reputation right there, Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick. So why is he going with AARO? Well, AARO is the head of all the high strangeness of what is happening within the military. Military members are supposed to head on over to AARO and allow them the opportunity to investigate their cases. AARO says they're going to be public, but guess what, Walter? In typical governmental fashion, they never say what's going on. Everything is always garbage bags, weather balloons, birthday balloons, and of course, seagulls. Because you can't forget seagulls,
yes,
you
seagulls,
can't forget
right.
swamp gas.
What?
That's
yes.
right. So that's where there's going to be this giant question mark over this so-called UFO disclosure, because AARO really hasn't produced anything outside of man-made answers to everything, that everything can be explained. There's nothing anomalous going on. And this is why I've stressed to your audience and my audience, this is what they are going to do. This is why they have what they call UAP, Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, because they don't want to bring out UFOs. They would like to keep it under the UAP calendar, because then they can say that Venus was a UFO. They can identify garbage bags and balloons flying in the air or ice crystals that give off a sheen. And that way they do not have to give up any sort of technology that they may have from somewhere else.
Do you think they have technology from somewhere else?
I do. Where it is, I have no idea. But I do know that, talking to friends of mine within the intelligence communities, that they are hiding it. But nobody seems to know where it is. Originally, it was all thought to be out at Area 51, but it's not there. We feel that it has been moved into the private sector to places like Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Boeing Skunk Works, and all of the big-name military contractors, because that way you can hide it and nobody will know the difference.
How do we find you on social media?
SpacedOutRadio.com is the website. You can get your Walter M. Sterling t-shirt flying a UFO right there. And I always appreciate you having me on with you, Walter. Thank you very much.
Listen, Dave, that shirt is a really good-looking shirt. The artwork you had done for it is terrific, and you should be very happy with all the artwork, because usually, like, radio people don't have a clue how to make anything look good because we're in radio because we don't look good. But there,
yes.
You did it, man. It's a great website. You have a terrific YouTube page, and I'm very flattered by the T-shirt, the sweatshirt that you have created with my image and likeness. Thank you.
Well, I love you, my friend, and I really appreciate everything you've done to help me grow as well.
Well, I'm very lovable. Thank you very much. That's Dave Scott, Spaced Out Radio. Good evening. It's about 28 past the hour with Walter Sterling. 28 past the hour. You and I don't fit in. That's why we're here. Normal people don't listen to AM radio at 12:30 Eastern. Just not a normal thing to do, but we do, because we're driving an 18-wheeler across the country on I-80. We're driving an 18-wheeler slowly on I-90. I don't know what you did wrong to be stuck on I-90 in the Northeast. Syracuse, Buffalo, Cleveland. It's not good. I want you to focus on getting southern routes. Would you do that? You should be on I-4 in Florida. Yes, focus on getting southern routes. And that way you don't have to worry about antifreeze. You don't have to worry about running from your cab into the coffee shop. You can just have like a normal life. Isn't that right? You're driving an 18-wheeler. Call me. I want to. I have questions. I have questions about driving an 18-wheeler. And my number is 855-839-1210. Let's talk. You're driving an 18-wheeler. You are my most coveted listener. You are the best Midnight Misfits because you're stuck. You're in that cab for hours, and whoever you choose to spend time with is a very personal and important decision. I have tremendous respect for the people who keep our country moving, who bring us food and other supplies on those trucks. That's a tough job, underpaid job with insane rules. You would not believe the rules that truck drivers have to put up with about how long they could drive and where they can park. Crazy talk, Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
Sterling, every damn night, from sea to shining sea.
Oh, look at you. 36 past the hour, Walter M. Sterling, live on the radio, and you and I can talk at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. How much money should a person spend on a woman on a date? How much, what's the minimum that a guy should spend on a first date to impress the girl?
What's the most a man should spend on a first date?
Well, I feel like there should be like a minimum, but not a most. If you want to go, you know, beyond, that's on you. But like a minimum, I feel like if I'm going to get ready and I'm going to use all my products to come out with you, I need like a minimum of
$200. All her products.
Minimum. And that's like being nice.
What?
And what does a man get in return for that?
My presence.
Oh. What, aren't you having his presence within you already?
I hear you, but no. No. I mean, like, I'm here to get
different?
To know you. I'm here to get to know you. You invited me out.
But he has to drop $200.
Yeah. Because
minimum.
Yeah. Because
Just because you have to do your makeup?
Because I have to... Okay. So we're going to do the math. My moisturizer is $400. My eye cream is $300. My serum is, like, another $300. My makeup, you know, not included. So if I have to spend, you know, that's my money. I'm spending my money on these products. I'm going to use these products.
What are you using them for, though?
For myself.
Okay.
But I'm going to use these products, and I'm going to show up because it's not like I'm going to show up in sweats.
The man doesn't owe you anything if you're just getting to know each other.
If you're inviting me out, you owe me a date.
How about you just come over and drink wine and let's watch Netflix?
I'm not your friend. I'm not, no.
And there it is. Men are expected over and over and over again to invest in a date or to invest in time with a woman, and she's expected to show up. I'm watching TV the other day, and I'm going up and down the dial. I'm not watching anything in particular, and I see a woman interviewing somebody, and it's vaguely interesting. It's on one of those news channels. I don't know which one. And then I did something that I know you do. And I'm sharing it so that you can finally admit that you do it. Even if you're not admitting it to others, you can admit it to yourself. I'm watching this woman, and I look at the chyron to see what her name is.
President Trump claiming that they, quote, screamed uncontrollably, end quote, and had the bulging, bloodshot eyes of crazy people, lunatics, mentally deranged and sick, who frankly look like they should be institutionalized.
Now, there's nothing more exciting to me than seeing an attractive woman getting angry or annoyed. I love it when I see them get annoyed. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, what is her name? And oh, it's Cassie Hunt. K-A-S-I-E. Cassie Hunt. Now, that name alone, I've never seen a K-A-S-I-E. Have you? I went to school with Susans and Barbaras, you know, Michelles. I never saw a Cassie with a K. It's a California name, K-A-S-I-E. And I'm looking at that. I'm like, well, anybody named K-A-S-I-E is hot. They have to be hot. No ugly girl would be named Cassie. Cassie-I-E. And I'm looking at her. And then as she's moving around, the jacket that she's wearing kind of is opening up to her blouse, and I can see her blouse because I'm a guy. And what do I see? I'm like, wait a minute, Cassie here has, I think she has really big breasts. And that's always good. Attractive face, a real job. She has a real job at some news network. And her name's Cassie. And I did what you would do. I did what you have done many times, but you don't admit it. I do. I went to Facebook. And I searched Cassie Hunt. And what did I find? I found the reason to go to Facebook. The vacation pictures. There should be a separate section in Facebook just for vacation pictures. In fact, the CEO of Facebook would really make a lot of money if he had vacation pictures and then sold advertising in the vacation pictures, because you, like me, we study the vacation pictures, but sometimes we have to study, we have to look. They're at the bottom of the stack, aren't they? They're the very first pictures put on Facebook by anybody once people get a little aware of social media, the potential impact on social media of the vacation pictures. They tend to just start putting wedding pictures, graduation pictures. They forget they put the bikini pictures there. The bikini pictures. You know what? Cassie Hunt, really large breast. Sterling every damn Sunday.
The people of Walmart, Sterling every damn night.
North Charleston, South Carolina. You ever been to Charleston? It's a great place. A lot of people go there on vacation, and you should as well. It has very interesting architecture. And you'll see homes that are sort of leaning to one way or another. Yeah, and it depends on the eye of the beholder. You may think that house is leaning to the right. Your friend, who may not be a conservative, may think that house is leaning to the left. Creates all sorts of problems. A young feller was spotted inside a Walmart. He was a juvenile. They're not saying how old he was, but he was under the age of 18. And was found carrying, well, a firearm inside Walmart. Yeah, people inside Walmart, sometimes you have to be strapped. And it was a stolen firearm as well. Yeah, here's the deal. You go into Walmart, and if you're carrying, keep it hidden. Especially if you're a kid. If you're a kid, that's not a good thing at all. If you're an adult, and depending on the state, you can be open carrying all you want. And Walmart will be happy to see you, because you're going to be fighting crime. So the kid was stopped outside of Walmart. An officer located the feller, matching the vehicle of the suspect leaving the area. And occupants were ordered out of the vehicle. Investigators said the passenger tried to grab a book bag from inside the car and run before being detained following a brief struggle. Handgun was found in an open bag. And the gun, yeah, it was stolen. It also had a magazine with 5 rounds in it. A round, by the way, is it's a bullet. It's one bullet. That's a round. So this feller is in trouble, he and his buddies. My hope is somebody was old enough to drive. But at this point, no one has said from the police department because, quote unquote, they're under 18. If you're strapped and strolling through Walmart, you like you own the place, going and checking out the values and fashions, you probably should be legal to drive, but that's what I am. The gun, by the way, found in plain sight in the open bag, according to the cops. And I'm just going to tell you, have a conversation with your young people at home. If you've got a kid, it's like 15 years old. Tell them never to steal handguns from different places. Don't go to Walmart because the cops, they know that address.
They know that address like there's no tomorrow. Do what you can to keep out of trouble. For the people of Walmart, this is D'Lo Hool. Sterling, every damn night.
Sterling every night. Smutty books, lusty books, get cozy with the old man done.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late-night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Second Skin. When the resort's employees began cleaning up around them, Brendan took their cue and stood. Pulling out her chair for her, he led Anna out of the dining room and to the base of the staircase in the foyer. "Well, Samantha," he began, taking her hands in his. Hearing him speak the false name left her cold. "It's late, and I'm sure you have a flight to catch sometime tomorrow." He pressed her enclosed hands to his chest and dipped his chin, his mouth hovering perilously close to hers. "I'll be a gentleman and let you decide what happens from this point forward." She inhaled, breathing in the musky scent of his cologne. His close proximity, combined with the scintillating ideas of how he might feel on top of her flying through her mind, sent her into an intoxicating daze. Fighting the sudden trembling in her legs, she grazed his lips with hers, holding on to him to prevent the flood of arousal from knocking her off balance. No way could she let him go so soon. "I want to be with you," she murmured against him. "Let's stay together until the morning." Brendan's grip on her tightened. The smile that had melted away all her resistance over the course of the day took on a wicked edge, and her pulse quickened. Without removing her hand from his arm, he ascended the staircase in long strides, while she floated beside him in a haze of vulnerable lust. A keycard materialized from his pocket, and he swiped it through the locking mechanism. Pushing the door open, he stepped aside to let her pass. Anna entered the room, her heart pounding in her ears. As soon as the door closed, he grabbed her around the waist and assaulted her mouth. She laced her fingers around the back of his neck, parted her lips, and his tongue delved inside. The earthy remnants of the wine they'd consumed lingered, and she drank him in, submitting to the force of their frenzied kiss. They stumbled backward, her shoulders colliding with the door. But Brendan dragged his lips over her neck, replacing any discomfort with pleasure. Pinning her to the solid wood, he leaned into her with his full weight. The prospect of having him inside her caused a cascade of moisture between her legs. He nipped at the sensitive skin above her collarbone, leaving her gasping for air. Her fingers skated down his back and fumbled with the bottom of his shirt. Before she yanked it out of the waistband of his pants, he pulled away. "Wait!" His harsh exhale punctuated the demand. "Let's not rush things too much. I want to take my time with you." I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my book, Second Skin, which is available at Amazon. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts, as well as complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/TheaLandon. And don't forget to send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's find out what happens next. Though her chest heaved with the loss of his contact, Anna smiled. Stepping away from the door, she left a space of a foot between them. When he kicked off his shoes, she followed suit. Circling behind her, he closed the gap. Brendan swept her hair over one shoulder. His mouth suspended over the top of her spine for one long moment, then he covered her flesh with feathery kisses. Gentle lips traversed the space between her shoulder blades, and he used nimble fingers to find the zipper of her sundress. It slid down at an agonizing, slow pace, while he never ceased his tantalizing affection. He pushed the straps off her arms, and the dress fell to the floor. She climbed out of the puddle of cotton and turned around. His gaze traveled over her, cobalt eyes shining in the wan light. "Amazing," he whispered. "I knew you would look incredible, but... wow!" Her cheeks bloomed with heat. "Now, this doesn't seem fair, does it?" she teased. Another attempt at seizing the hem of his polo shirt resulted in success. He helped her pull it off over his head and toss it to the side. The ridges of his chest were well defined, even in the dim light. A sprinkling of golden curls across his pecs descended in a narrow line over his chiseled abs, then disappearing into his waistband. Her mouth watered at the thought of what lay beyond. Moving closer, she traced every line, every muscle.
Email, waltermsterling@gmail. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative, people. Musical director Lee Harris. Technical wizard Dave Scalish. Operations Frank Canal. Sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres. Voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Erotic Thrills, Thea Landon, Class Act, Jill Brooke, Baked Goods, Steve and Selena, JB Bakery, Skullduggery, Vic Ferrari, Blessings, Father James Drucker, Meteorologist, Dr. Dave Iser, Writer, Jerry the Writer, Business Guidance, Craig Kitchen, Program originated by Chris Olivero, Long-suffering Executives, David Yagaroff and Greg Stalker, with respect, Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard.